Ah, there we go. Yo, I just want to pop shit one moment if I can, man. You are right now listening to two of the most innovative minds in Black media and Black content. Yeah. I just want to say that because I don't think people understand it, but it's fine. You know what I'm saying? You don't find many people our age doing what we do, talking how we talk.
It is.
And also pushing forward with this content space and not being afraid of change and not being afraid of like, yo, how we, well, back in 09 when we did this, like we off that shit. We don't, yeah, we ain't even on that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? But enough about that, man.
Need to
like,
y'all
know who the legendary NLE is, man. We already know what that's about, man.
Bitch. Hey,
yeah, absolutely. Oh, you, bitch. You know what I'm saying? The Detective Washington voice. Oh, you bitches.
Oh, you bitches. Oh, send all of you niggas out the Pelican Bay.
You know what I'm saying? Shoot program, nigga. But hey, it's wrestling time, man. It's time to talk wrestling. We are fresh off of Saudi Mania. You know what? We're going to get it correct, man. It's technically Saudi Mania 3 because they made a distinction on the Peacock app. That means it's the one thing it's actually good for. It's showing you how many Saudi Manias exist, and we're only at 3. So Saudi Mania 3 is here and gone. We're about to talk wrestling like nobody else in the world. So that means it's time for the first Black Champ podcast. And now I'm Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Also, make sure you go ahead and get that merch. See, Cam got on the first Black Champ T on with the logo on there. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD. Instagram at FBC.POD. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
Most importantly, first Black Champ situation that happened last night. I think it happened in your neck of the woods too, because they ain't traveling yet. But in Nashville, shouts out to Moose. Moose is now your Impact Wrestling heavyweight champion. Josh Alexander defeated Christian Cage, and then Moose, who had won their version of like the Money in the Bank, the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, he called this shot and he defeated Josh Alexander after the match. Mm-hmm. Now he is the Impact Wrestling champion. So shouts out to Moose for going ahead and winning the prize. And shouts out, hey, that's why I said, hey, yeah, before they get out on the tour, man, you got to show up to one of them joints in Nashville.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wish I would have. I worked the majority of Saturday yesterday, but hey, we'll be trying to get off that soon so I can get out there. I'm less than a half hour from the actual venue in which they host Impact. So yeah, y'all gonna see me in a minute, especially since it's the Black Champion.
Yeah. So shouts out to Moose, man. Shouts out to that, and reportedly, because you know, everybody was talking about the whole thing about the Forbidden Door. Forbidden Door is open. Reportedly, the Forbidden Door is closed. Mm-hmm. Some of the dirt sheets are reporting that last night was the end of the Forbidden Door. So the relationship between AEW and Impact is over for now.
Okay.
I like that though. One of the reasons why Christian Cage dropped the belt. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what you see with the Good Brothers, because the Good Brothers was popping up back and forth between Impact and AEW. Mm-hmm. We do know Deonna Purrazzo, I've used to pronounce her last name, but she challenged Britt Baker to a match too. So the women didn't even get a chance to get their joints off. So we will see how that goes, but it looks like the Forbidden Door is closed for right now. Let's go ahead and get into to Crown Jewel. And I don't really want to get fully into Crown Jewel because while I think it was probably one of the better WWE events of the year, there were big things that, especially around Black and people of color. And let me start this off with Bianca Belair.
Yeah, man.
It's two things about Bianca here. In her match versus Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. If there was ever someone who looked good in a loss, and also if it was ever someone who just, again, like, give you all of those cliches, steal the show, who made a lot of money, captivated audiences and all that shit, it was Bianca Belair. Yeah. Bianca Belair was doing shit that you don't see inside of a wrestling ring. She did the one-handed press with Sasha Banks, flipping off of the ring and all of those things. And she was ranked number one by PWI in the women's top 150 wrestlers list.
Yeah.
I know a couple of, like last year, I was saying how Sasha Banks was the greatest of all time. And I think currently still, like career, as it stands to me, is only two women I had that conversation with, and that's Sasha and Charlotte.
Okay.
And we'll see how that floats on SmackDown. And it's a lot of shit to talk about what happened at the end of SmackDown, too. Say all that to say this. What are your prospects when it comes to Bianca Belair moving forward?
Man.
Just career-wise.
Yeah, yeah. First, I do want to just co-sign and just piggyback off of everything you said about her at Saudi Mania. Bianca Belair did what I think a lot of like the indie wrestling fans think that their favorite indie wrestlers is doing. And is that on the biggest stage possible at the moment, she broke out great spots. And she like, you know, like Bianca Belair literally did shit we haven't seen her do. And she's already been a champion. Like that, I don't think people understand how dope just that is. It's like, oh shit. Like, you've already main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You've had a title run, had to drop the belt, and you still got more shit.
And drop the look. I know we were all upset about how she dropped the belt and how it was going to make her look. But the one thing that I kept saying afterwards, because I said I was pissed how she dropped it, but something tells me this is going to be straight for her. She's looked better since dropping the belt.
Yes. Yes. It's one of the rare things that when you see a wrestler drop a belt and then you watch them get better. It's wild. It's so wild because she dropped a major title. Usually we're used to seeing that from the Intercontinental Championship to the WWE Championship, right? You know what I'm saying? But she's doing it after losing the major title, which is now trajectory, projections. Man, listen. I think that if Bianca Belair doesn't end up in everybody's top five ever, when she decides this is over with, you just fucking hating. And I say that because, you know, I don't know what y'all calling five-star matches, but she got two of them this year.
Like, yeah. This year.
You know what I'm saying? WrestleMania.
I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah. No, because I know where you're going. Because also, I mean, shit, you could say her Royal Rumble performance counts.
Because one of these, I know people going to look at me crazy, but I'm going to explain why. All right. Okay. So she got the Royal Rumble. She got the Raw. I'm not saying it's top five. I mean, it's a five-star match, but I'm talking about moments. And you can. That match she had with Charlotte on Raw?
Yes. Five.
What she did at Saudi Mania? Fire. And I'm not going to lie to you. Because WWE is not built on wrestling matches. They're built on moments.
Yes.
Let me just say this. For those who tried to see what Triple H was trying to do with, you know, getting his New Japan Pro Wrestling on. Vince McMahon is built on moments, not matches.
Yes. Facts.
You can say that moment of her losing against Becky at SummerSlam, while at first was like, what the fuck? Because of the way she bounced back then, the way that she reacted to it and how the fans reacted to her.
Yeah.
And losing it. Just as many moments or more than your tribal chief.
Yeah.
And he's the head of the table.
Word.
Like, it's really them two in my eyes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, listen, I mean, once Roman Reigns stopped beating up his family, the moment's starting to fade. But, you know what I'm saying? Because now the story has shifted. You know what I'm saying? Now the family down and we just running shit. And the story did need a glitch in a little bit. And it was interesting with Brock and Paul Heyman. But, you know, but back to Bianca Belair. I think, yeah, man, I mean, obviously we can't predict the future. We see what's happening right now. And we do have to live in this moment as far as we're going, you know what I'm saying, as far as wrestling goes. But to stay topical with you all, if there was a Pro Wrestling 75, she got to be in it. And not 67.
Okay. For those who don't know what Camp is talking about right here, Camp is talking about how the NBA just dropped their top 75 players of all time list. Mm-hmm. So if the WWE were to do a WWE 75, she in that.
Absolutely. And she's not 67 or lower.
Because, you know, WWE like to rank shit. Yeah. And just said, hey, this is the best.
Right.
Right. What the fuck do you mean Saba Simba is 70?
You know what I'm saying? And keep in mind, fellas, I'm making that intergender. So that's men and women. If it was a WWE 75, shit, if it was a pro wrestling 75, just of right now, she's in.
I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. She's one of the few crossover stars we got in the WWE. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long she has for the WWE, to be honest. Word. Like, I really see her as the female version of The Rock. I think Bianca Belair can be that. I see, and it's funny how wrestling mimics celebrity. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about it, she's the Megan Thee Stallion of the WWE.
Yeah.
It's like clear to me that them two are the same person, different shit. Like Sasha Banks is the Nicki Minaj of the WWE.
Yep.
You know, so black wrestlers in general or wrestlers of color know who to mimic or have a little bit of feel for, know how to smile or all that stuff to know who to get. Mm-hmm. And I see longevity. We had longevity in Nikki. I see we got longevity in Megan, and I see longevity in Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to the first person put on a movie role. Yeah. Whether it's Vince McMahon with some WWE film shit or Will Packer saying, watching wrestling one day, like, I like that black girl. Yeah. I can put her on something. But I just see so much crossover appeal with her that I don't see her in the WWE in 10 years. Mm. Like, I don't. Same thing with, I'm shocked. Honestly, I'm shocked Sasha been hit as long. Mm-hmm. Because I feel she has it too.
Well, hey, you know, they're already dropping her out of the top fives because she's busy.
Yeah, I don't know why you would. But
yeah, that was like, yo, no disrespect to Thunder Rosa. And I forgot who else was in there, but I was like, nah, above Sasha Banks just off a WrestleMania match alone, nah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I think because we're old school wrestling fans, right? And we are used to a lot of wrestlers putting in a dime or more, and that's what's making them great.
Right.
But that's over with. Like, shit, that ended with The Rock, because I realized even when we were doing the show, how I'm disqualifying The Rock for literally only wrestling maybe 5 years when everybody else got him in their top 10. So I was like, well, shit, if that rule applies and that now we're giving wrestlers NBA, NFL shelf life, well, then shit, that changes this game completely. So now to me, you saw that WrestleMania, you in contention for any top spot of any list or any program or whatever.
Right.
Because that's the biggest day. That's the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Yeah. So I just don't see her being in the E in what, since 2021? Mm-hmm. 2031? I don't see her being in the E. I see her doing something else.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's how big I think, but that's also how big I think she could become.
Okay.
I truly believe Bianca Belair can be one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. She can be the female Rock. That's what I see. And nobody else ain't got to see it, but that's what I see. And with that being said, she can be one of the greatest wrestlers, greatest superstars of all time, and still have that. Have her little run, save her body. Next thing you know, she can be the Pam Grier of this time.
Pam Grier ran the 70s. And plus to keep it real, all this shit that people talk about, five-star matches, this, that, and the third criteria, they sum you up in the 3 or 5 great years that you had anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's just,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, niggas was arguing about Dwight Howard not being in the NBA 75. And he got compared to some others, unless it's Bill Walton. I'll give y'all that because that motherfucker was hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But still was cold.
Yeah.
But that nigga had a better career than AD right now.
That's why they was fighting. Right. And see, the thing is, right, exactly. And then RIP. I think if Kobe Bryant was alive, that conversation changed and y'all talk about T-Mac. Because T-Mac was Kobe's guy. He was like, nah, if y'all want to know who could fuck with me, it's him. Hey, he got hurt though. So, hey, sorry.
Yeah, so.
I run shit because he hurt.
Basically. So, yeah, man, I look at what I saw at Saudi Mania with Bianca Belair, especially in that type of a crowd, who it's just weird seeing them wear, like, the shirts and shit. Like, it's still weird seeing them wear, like, the shirts.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're wrestling in, like, sleepwear or some shit. But I got more to say about Bianca Belair a bit later. Big E won in a hard-hitting match with Drew McIntyre, which, you know, I would say this going out the gate, and you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think this was two big opponents going back to back for Big E. And I think Big E needs food. Big plates, though. Mm-hmm. Like, Big E can't do all of this and then go up against, like, Sami Zayn.
Right.
Even though he's on SmackDown. Like, he can't go up against, like, Matt Riddle for the title. Like, in order for this Big E thing to work, the way that they're pushing him to, because he was all over, we had talked about how he was all over the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury fight. And I'm starting to see the commercials and shit with the vaping and all that shit. So we're seeing him like being pushed to a certain level outside of the WWE when it comes to being that type of a star. He can't do that against low quality heavyweight champion contenders. And so he needs. AJ Styles now. He needs that. He needs those type of wrestlers starting on Monday at the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. But going up against, well, beating Bobby Lashley, then going up against Bobby Lashley, defeating Bobby Lashley in the cage, and then after that going up against Drew McIntyre, two now former world champions and two major world champions. That to me was a great moment for him. I'm just interested to see what's next. Who's next? Hopefully it's AJ Styles. Your thoughts on Big E defeating Drew McIntyre?
Man, great. It was one of those things where I was worried but not worried because I do think they are prepping a much-needed heel turn for Drew. You're right. Big E, and I don't care. Y'all can call this a hot take or whatever. Big E gives me Black Bruno Sammartino vibes.
Ooh, that's big. Gee.
Yeah. and I say that because, again, a lot of people just naturally like Big E. Like, people naturally like him. He's undersized to a degree, but then he big as fuck at the same time.
Yep.
You can put him in there with somebody with great speed, great wrestling ability, or great strength, and he's still going to look good. And no matter his opponent, the match looks winnable. Like, and that, and to me, that's super important. Like, for instance, Shawn Michaels don't look like he could beat The Undertaker. You know what I mean?
Right. So that's a perfect example, actually.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But you get a hell of a match. A lot of people don't look like they could beat Bobby Lashley. But then Big E walks in. It's like, oh, yo, homie over there, though, he might fuck you up. Same thing with Drew McIntyre. And I think that's the magical thing about Big E. I know I've been on here saying that he wanna be New Day so bad, but man, putting him solo, isolating him from the New Day to let him display that. Granted, I'm not saying he's going to go on a 5, 6, 10-year title run. I'm not saying that at all, because this era is just not set up like that. But I'm saying that everything that made Bruno Sammartino great can definitely make Big E great in this era. And I wouldn't call me crazy, but I think Vince see that shit and it's like, well, yo, because even if we throw you in here with a 7-footer, like, you look strong as fuck. Like, you're going to at least slam the shit out of him so we can make this work.
600 pounds. God damn it. You squatting 600 pounds, nigga. You. Hell right. Yeah. I think that's a great comparison. Because of also how he interacts with the crowd. Yes. How the crowd interacts with him, too. And I'm looking at the Raw roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing Big E is a face, too. Mm-hmm. And I see people like Randy Orton, Finn Balor, too, because Finn Balor's supposed to go over to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles is another one. Edge, how does that work? And another one that I'm very interested to see how this works is Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
With Bearcat Lee. Now Bearcat Lee coming in and I want to see how he's used.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't want them to do, especially for the sake of black people going up against black people, and how that's looked great on Raw in general, is I want them to slowly build the Bearcat Lee monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's October. We are close near to Royal Rumble time.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm thinking is, I'm not saying that Keith Lee should win it. He was my prediction last year until all of the crazy shit with his health started happening.
Yeah.
But slowly build this man up. Get that shit back up. Get people who don't understand the Bearcat name to now be like, all right, they pushing him as a monster. He's slow. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying Braun Strowman it, where he's wrestling two people at a time, even though the WWE might do some shit like that.
Right.
But slowly build that man up, because when I look at the Raw roster currently now, ain't no monster heel. Ain't right. One. Like, Kevin Owens is also on this list too. My bad.
Yeah.
And the good thing about Kevin Owens, especially if he's going to leave in January, turn that motherfucker heel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin Owens is the one person. Well, I ain't gonna say he's the one person. Well, no, I say he is the one person, because I hate, well, other than AJ Styles. So yeah, he's probably one of two people on the Raw roster, mm-hmm, that I trust as heel or face, because I hate face Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Always have. Where you can turn him heel, he has a history with Big E.
Mm-hmm.
And let them go at it. And once his contract is over with, we see him at AEW,
mm-hmm,
like he probably wants. By that, while you're doing that, you're grooming and growing, and then come Royal Rumble time, you have your first big heel like that. You know that's going to carry you into 2022. Because the thing is, the other part of this is, if you're not thinking about 2022 right now, you know you're losing, because We are damn near around after Survivor Series. We are on the road to WrestleMania, starting with the Royal Rumble. Absolutely. In my eyes, because that's when you start looking at people say, "Hey, man, are they a viable Royal Rumble contender? Are they this? Mm-hmm. Are they that? All that stuff." So I'm very interested to see what they're gonna continue to do with Big E. I just hope that they don't give him like random motherfuckers to fight for the title, and keep, and also keep Finn Balor away from him, because if you think about it, Finn Balor has lost two straight big matches. As the demon, and then he loses to King Xavier, which we're gonna get into a little bit later. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I know you was watching that, and you was tweeting and stuff. You had some stuff to say about that one. What was your thoughts about that match?
Yeah, man. Hey, way better than I expected. You know what I'm saying? It's refreshing when Brock Lesnar actually wrestles, because now we're taking it back to the time when I actually liked seeing Brock Lesnar a lot.
Yeah.
When he was giving you about 15, 20 minutes, hurting motherfuckers, beating people the fuck up, taking a little punishment, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to prove, like, to the new wrestling fans, because obviously, granted, I haven't been the greatest fans of about the last, 50% of the last few years of matches from Brock Lesnar, right? Because he's just showing up, wham, bam, and then it's over, right? But I liked seeing a match where, one, he still looks dominant, but he don't run over somebody. Where the match looked like, okay, this really could go either way.
Right.
I was super shocked. I'm glad it was a semi-clean ending. You know what I mean? to a degree, because the storyline needs it. You know what I mean?
And like, the Usos are fucking over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, man.
God damn.
Yeah, man, this Bloodline, Usos, Roman Reigns thing, like, it's a reason why they holding on to these belts, and I think we really seeing it. Like we said, man, if you're getting a reaction, that's when you over. You know what I'm saying? It ain't because the internet fucking love you. They talking about them arenas. Now that the Thunderdome is over with and we post-pandemic as far as audiences go, you seeing the vibes. Motherfuckers is far the fuck over. And motherfuckers is far not the fuck over.
Right. So, we're the ones.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're the ones. So, but no, I thought it was it's one of those rare occasions lately where we see Brock Lesnar in a really good ass match, and he lost. It's another thing that we don't see often, you know what I'm saying? And unless he's doing one of his old homies a favor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, no complaints. I'm mad I missed SmackDown, but I gotta get some money until some more money comes in.
Oh, well, let's transition to SmackDown. Perfect way to transition, because Brock Lesnar ends Saudi Mania, and then he begins, he technically didn't begin, Roman Reigns begins it, but he definitely ended the first segment of SmackDown. Oh, my. Fam, old Brock Lesnar came out to play here. Roman Reigns started off SmackDown, you know, showing a little bit of shade towards, you know, the wise man, Paul Heyman, but really acknowledging that he is the tribal chief and that he's beaten everybody. Beat Cesaro. He's beaten Kevin Owens. He's beating everybody.
Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar, I want you to come out so I can whoop your ass again.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then it goes to commercial break, comes back, and he's calling out Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes out there and proceeds to beat the shit out of Roman Reigns.
Here comes the pain.
And yeah, he beat the shit out of Roman Reigns, and then the Usos came down. Now he beat the shit out of the Usos. Then he beat the shit out of Roman Reigns again. Then Adam Pearce sends the referees and they get their ass beat, and the cameraman gets his ass beat. And then the wrestlers come down, and it was something interesting that the internet picked up to, and I wonder if the WWE is going to do anything with it. But the wrestlers came down. A couple of wrestlers got thrown, but Cesaro in the suit looks at Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar says, "You know what? Fuck this. I'm done."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Check the internet. Check the internet. Matt did. I was like, oh. Well, like, in the suit.
For Jason Statham, huh?
Right, okay. Yeah. He pulled back. He was. And then he walked around and he left. And then Adam Pearce, next segment, says Brock Lesnar is suspended indefinitely.
Oh, that ain't gonna go well.
Are you?
That ain't gonna go well at all. Nigga, what? I can't get no money?
Yeah, so Brock Lesnar comes back out. Oh, slow walk. Now, we'll give it to Adam Pearce, the Adam Pearce character.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make Adam Pearce out to be a bitch.
Word, yeah, facts.
Because Brock Lesnar gets in the ring, grabs him by the neck, is like, what do you say? And Adam Pearce was like, you're indefinitely suspended. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. Oh, he about to get his ass beat, but okay.
Yeah.
And he got two F5s for his pleasure.
Damn.
So Brock Lesnar is indefinitely suspended, which is basically the way of getting his ass off TV, which is not a surprise.
Right.
Or a shock or anything like that. But everybody, but basically everybody who was wrestling and got tired yesterday, you got your ass beat. Go home.
It's like, yeah. Hey, we got the night off, bro.
Right. You got the night off. Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn had a dope match.
Okay.
It just also lets me know that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is probably not going to be back in the WWE.
Gotcha.
In 2022. I still think that Sami Zayn should have been or should be in the title conversation how this character goes, but I'm not going to be one of those wrestling people that says, no, he should just go over to Impact. He's going to be this. Yeah, you know. I just know I love the Sami Zayn character. Looks like they're going to be going forward with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Happy Corbin. He's probably going to win the Intercontinental Championship again. I'm not with that, but hey, it is what it is. But the biggest thing that happened, on SmackDown is one of the big questions that I have for you today.
Okay.
So to start this up, they're gonna have the title switching ceremony, basically, where Charlotte and Becky is going to give each other the belt, similar to what they did with the New Day and Street Profits last draft. But something weird happened during the exchange.
Okay.
So Becky is waiting for Charlotte to give her the belt. And Charlotte is keeping the belt away from her. To the point where when Becky reaches for it, the belt falls. I don't know if you can really tell if it was dropped on purpose or not. But it didn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
It looked terrible to keep it a buck.
Okay.
You can tell on Becky's face, however, she ain't with this shit. She throws the SmackDown belt at Charlotte. You can tell that this segment is not only going left, but something's wrong here. And then Becky Lynch leaves, and then that sets up Charlotte and Sasha Banks. But I'm going to read from one of the dirt sheets, right?
Awesome. Okay, awesome. I'm glad you're going here.
No, so the big story was going on was, of course, what we're talking about right here. And the segment, well, the argument, because an argument took place after this, reportedly. And Charlotte and Becky got into a heated yelling match backstage. And Charlotte, apparently her perspective here was she wasn't trying to look bad or weak in this situation.
Word, facts.
She didn't want that. And she felt that possibly she could look bad by basically just handing over the belt. She's supposed to be a heel or whatever. Now, things didn't get physical. They didn't fight. But that was Charlotte's concern, just handing over the belt and all of that stuff, making her look weak. But Becky wasn't supposed to throw the belt at her. And Lynch felt like Charlotte was trying to make her look bad in the segment. Charlotte was supposed to play cat and mouse. But was that supposed to happen? Don't know. Also, apparently, Charlotte and Becky has had a strained relationship after they were close friends due to a promo where Becky Lynch called Charlotte Flair plastic.
Yeah, that's the part I read on. I read a piece of that on IG.
Right. Also, Vince McMahon is reportedly kind of pissed off about this shit too. Mm. Because Charlotte Flair walked past gorilla position without speaking to Vince McMahon. And, you know, of course, that made him mad about this shit. Like, what the fuck going on?
Like, damn it. You better talk to me, bitch.
Now, also, Becky left after the argument, but Charlotte left with security. Now, afterwards, Charlotte Flair got on the plane to go to Kansas to be with her fiancé. Mm-hmm. And AEW star Andrade, mm-hmm. who tweeted out F-U-W-W-E after that segment.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is here, my question to you, mm-hmm. hearing all of this shit, it does not seem like Charlotte Flair is long for the WWE.
Okay.
Because you got this with Becky Lynch, you got the shit with Nia Jax as well. Mm-hmm. These are two shits. She's the common denominator here. Her mm-hmm. man gone. Mm-hmm. He over there. I know she want to be with her man. She probably not getting consistent dick. I know somebody might look at me and be like, why would you say that? But look, I am married. If me and my wife are in different places and I'm not getting consistent cuddles and sex, mm-hmm. I'm going to be frustrated too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can tell that Charlotte and Andrade has a relationship where they just want to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that. Mm-hmm. She support him. He support her. Rick support them both. He ain't there no more. And then you have the issues that happened reportedly around WrestleMania with the false pregnancy test.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It does to me. It does not seem like Charlotte Flair's long for the WWE. What are your thoughts?
I think you raised a lot of great points, and but I'm still kind of on the fence, right? Because on one hand, Charlotte Flair is sick of the WWE shit, right? She's sick of their shit. However, though, she does herself a disservice, in my view, going to wrestle anywhere else. Because she'll be doing the better version of what CM Punk is doing. But at the same time, for what? You know, like, I already have the most title reigns for a woman's wrestler
ever.
so if you want my real take, Charlotte Flair is going to retire soon and just be like, yo, fuck this, I'm about to go have Latin American babies and this is it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I honestly think that, and honestly, I don't think we're really paying attention to it, like, in its entirety. But Charlotte Flair is having a hell of a run this year. Like, her 2021 year has been pretty fiery.
And last year was fire until that WrestleMania bullshit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I think what's happening with her is she knows it's funny how Sasha Banks' promos also fit Charlotte, you know, because she's the standard. She's the blueprint. See the bitches bitches need to level up and be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of that shit. Like, that holds for Charlotte too. And I know a lot of you indie and internet wrestling fans are thinking that Charlotte's being force-fed. But, fam, there aren't two, let alone 3 to 5 wrestlers, men or women, in any organization right now that are better than Charlotte Flair. Like, they're just not, especially if we're counting like right now. It ain't about who you fucking like. So with that, I could see, I honestly could see her retiring because I think she has aspirations to be with her man, aspirations to start family, aspirations to be like, yo, I'm already the hardest bitch living. So why, like, why even do this shit no more? Like, and it wouldn't surprise me that she's taking care of herself financially. You know what I mean? I just, obviously she can still perform at a high level, but what's the point? You know, you've already wrestled outside of maybe outside of her and Britt Baker. I don't really want to see Charlotte Flair in another match.
So I agree with you to a point. Mm-hmm. It goes back to something I had talked about in one of the prior episodes, though. Actually, like one of the last ones. Charlotte Flair is a WWE product.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was built in the Performance Center. I think that before she retires, because I agree with you, I just feel like, what does she need to do to continue to, you know? Right. But then I think about Kurt Angle. When Kurt Angle left the WWE and before he went on his before he retired, when he went on his little, you know, no, when he went on this, when he went on his little, his retirement tour, right? Mm-hmm. I think Charlotte Flair would want to go up against the Thunder Rosas and the Britt Bakers and and some of those women, right? Before she hangs them up. So it wouldn't shock me and surprise me if she went on that tour, also wrestling in Mexico. I know she would want to wrestle in Mexico on the same card as Abu.
Yeah, facts. Okay.
So I think you're right. What does she have left to prove? She is probably going to retire. I think the proving part is going to be wrestling in other organizations, going on a Charlotte Flair tour or an Ashley Flair tour.
Yeah.
Queen Ashley.
Yeah.
And really going out and wrestling against some of those women, going to Shimmer, wrestling in Berwyn, going to Shimmer, probably wrestling Tessa Blanchard in Women of Wrestling in a one-off, going to Mexico to wrestle on the same card as Abu, going to AEW in a couple of one-offs against, like, you know, some of those. Not a long contract, but, you know, one where you see her go up against Britt Baker. You see her go up against Thunder Rosa. Maybe even touch NWA because that's where her father was born at. And then after that, let's go have these babies.
Yep. Viva Reina Flair. Viva Reina Flair. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then Queen. Well, I don't know how you say Queen in Spanish.
No, right, Reina.
Oh, it's Reina. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, all right, Reina Ashley. Oh, yeah, it is. Reina Ashley.
R-E-I-N-A. Look at that. Hey, yeah, we're getting bilingual on you bitches.
¿Cómo estás? Estoy muy feo. I just called myself up.
Tostadas.
Damn right. So, yeah, so I think that happens before anything, but it just feels like she's over shit. And she might not be that, or she might not feel that way. But if you say what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But when you hear the Becky chants and the Sasha chants, you see Bianca Belair is coming up and all of that stuff, and you've wrestled them all, you probably also feel like you don't get the respect that you deserve from the WWE universe.
And that's exactly where I was going to go. Thank you for saying that. I think you. If we can just hone in on this real quick, you know what I think Charlotte's real problem is, along with like the WWE, just like sports entertainment antics, is the fact that the man shit don't happen without her. And we don't acknowledge that. Like, Charlotte took a lot of L's to make sure Becky got over.
Yeah.
And it develops into this. And I'm not saying that you got to write a story where she pays homage to it, but we forget how, while making herself a dominant superstar, She also created the next one in her division.
Yeah.
And so, like, and we hear these stories, these locker room stories about how, you know, people get their success and then all of a sudden the game changed. You know, and she wasn't and if her and Charlotte were friends, you know, in the plastic comment in the promo, which I do remember. I do remember that promo, matter of fact. Like, and if that made her feel away and they didn't piece that up, and then Becky goes on to just, like, honestly headline WrestleMania and not wrestle as good as Charlotte Flair did in any other match that year, like, I'd be pissed too. I can't front. Yeah. I would be pissed too.
She's the common denominator about around the success for all these women. When you think about it, she, absolutely, even when you think about Bianca Belair and how she started to get over when she started having the battles with Rhea Ripley, but Charlotte Flair came down to NXT, wrestled her, and really gave her the thumbs up.
Yeah, like, yo, okay, all right, okay. She is cold, bet. It was like, all right, no, y'all go ahead and bring her up whenever y'all ready. She ready. Yeah, no, you know what? I think, and even though obviously she plays a big part in Sasha and Bayley, I think those are the only two that might be exempt, because Sasha and Bayley together are a different set of magic than what Charlotte Flair has been able to do with everybody else. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways, Charlotte feels a way about a lot of shit on her doing business and now being put in certain positions. Like, I understand it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shit goes, especially with, you know, the fiance saying fuck everybody over there and all of that. All right. So we really went through the SmackDown recap too. Right. You know, because we talked about Brock versus everybody but Cesaro. But what are your expectations with this revamped roster? The way that the roster is set up now, you got on the men's side, you got Drew McIntyre, you got the New Day, Happy Corbin, and Madcap Moss. I hate that. Hit Row, who I don't know if that was pumped up audio or what, but they look good to me on SmackDown.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy is over there now. So does Jeff Hardy have one last championship run or attempt to win the championship over there? The Usos are over there. Sheamus is now over there. So let's see how that goes. You still got Cesaro over there. Jinder Mahal. You got a couple of new cats like Ridge Holland over there. With this revamped roster, you know, how do you see the prospects of SmackDown? Is it still the A show?
Absolutely. Still the A show. It's the A show because Roman Reigns is on it. And to keep it real with you, like, he's on it. Charlotte Flair's on it. The Usos bloodline, that whole thing is on it. Sasha Banks is still there. We're going to see the return of the Bar. SmackDown, Drew McIntyre is there now. SmackDown is still the A show because the A guy in wrestling is on it, and that's how I'll always look at it. Raw again, man, you have another chance to be great with your new black champ. So let's see what it is. I do think that we're going to get, well, depending on how long they draw this Brock Lesnar thing out next, but Drew McIntyre is obviously next for Roman Reigns. You know, I don't see. Why would we even wait on that? I know Survivor Series is on the way, but that's even more reason to build that story to end the year with Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. But yeah, absolutely the A show. Absolutely the A show. Nothing has changed, but the guys that should be on the A shows anyway, and I mean that for Raw or SmackDown, like they traded A players for A players, like, Happy Corbin segment is about to get cut. That's all I know. And I'm happy about that shit.
Well, I mean, this might be a shorter pod than normal because a lot of shit happened in the condensed time. But the last thing that we have on the docket for y'all today is the best thing that's on the docket today.
Believe it.
The King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown of Champions were crowned at at Crown the Jewel Saudi Mania. Let's start with Lil Bit. Let's start with Lil Thea. Yeah. Let's start with Zelina Vega. And to me, an upset, especially the way that she won. But upset, defeating Doudrop to become the queen of the ring. Basically, your thoughts on that?
Kayfabe at its finest. I mean, listen, what I am glad happened, though, and I do want to say this, because I feel this way about both tournaments, but this, but specifically for the women, finally, a woman in this division that we may not even be overly over for it, positive or negatively, has won something that it seems like they're going to make a thing. The fact that it came down to Doudrop and Zelina Vega in itself, I think, is a win for the women's division. Mm-hmm. And Zelina's not on Raw, right?
Yes.
Okay, so even more so. So now, again, look, now they got the queen of the ring because, yeah, she did not want to get her ass whooped by Charlotte on SmackDown. That's right. She got to be on Raw. But the fact, now they've just put the battery on the back of a new woman in the division for her to sit there, create new character, create new storyline for another woman. We're hoping it's Liv Morgan, I would assume. And now we can move forward. I think it's dope. Would I ever believe that she could pull that move off on a woman the size of Doudrop and on the streets? No. But again, it's kayfabe at its finest. It's believing in yourself. I seen all of the conspiracy theorists tweets about, oh yeah, she won this for her dad because of 9/11 in Saudi Arabia, and I was like, yo, y'all,
shut the fuck up, man. Yeah, like
fucking relax, bro. Obama got him. All right.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, kayfabe at its finest, but congrats. I do like the fact that two new women, you know what I'm saying, that are not the four horse women, that are not Shayna Baszler, that are not Carmella, have got something, got an opportunity in the division.
I'm excited to see what she's going to do with this character for one reason or one reason only. To input or other thing that we love other than wrestling is music. And we know that she is a big fan of Aaliyah.
Yep.
We know that queen of the damn shit is her shit.
Yeah.
I am interested to see what they're going to do with this character. I'm not saying that she needs to be like her husband.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm not saying she has to do all of those things that he's doing. But I'm interested to see how this look is going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the character. I'm also shouting her out, too, because the internet show was killing her when she decided to come back to the WWE.
Yeah, man.
They were killing her, and she came back to the WWE. So, obviously, they had some shit planned for we didn't know about. And it just so happened to be the queen of the ring here. I don't know when it was discussed. I don't know when it was signed off of and all of that stuff. But it is good to see somebody come back and they have something for. I'm interested to see how this character is going to go. All right, the longer conversation, though.
Yeah.
All hail King Xavier.
Yeah. Yeah. When I said cut the cameras, you cut the cameras.
Man. I was like, he talking this shit, man. Xavier Woods in a dope match. Yeah, with man. Finn Balor. And I'm going to shout out Finn Balor here, man, for allowing that man to win clean.
Yeah,
especially coming off of a loss that he already had. And Xavier Woods looked damn good in that ring. That elbow off the rope looked great in the screenshot, ladies and gentlemen. That's when I talk about WWE. We would like a great match, but they want great moments. And when you can snapshot some shit and put that shit in a reel, that's some shit that they love, and that's exactly what happened with Xavier Woods as he defeats Finn Balor to become the King of the Ring. I don't know if they're going to keep it King Xavier. I don't know if they're going to keep it King Woods. I don't know if they're going to have it King Xavier Woods, but it's King nonetheless.
It's That's right.
Your thoughts on another black king of the ring.
Man. First, you know what I'm saying? I want it in stone here. I want it written in stone here. Because that's what you do for a king.
You gotta do it in the year of, what is written in stone.
What it should be written, what shall be written in stone is that thine Xavier Woods is the most improved wrestler of 2021.
Yes.
Because man, listen, I was tweeting about this from our account because a lot of y'all pissed me off about this. Kofi need to put him over. And I don't think what y'all didn't get was that it cheapens the win for Xavier and the resume that he built for this year. You know, I tweeted this out from the First Black Champ podcast, a Twitter account, that, you know, he's holding very significant solo victories this year. Two of them being over Bobby Lashley.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And Jinder Mahal, but now he's also beat Finn Balor. Like, he beat the first Universal Champion, dog. He beat the third WWE Black Champion. he beat the first Indian born WWE Champion and the longest SmackDown Champion until Roman Reigns is doing what he's doing. Like, y'all cushioning the blow. He beat y'all guy Ricochet. He beat y'all mans. The one that y'all think should be the world champ and the king of the ring and should win the Royal Rumble to face himself and just do spots for 20 minutes. He beat him. And all of this while coming the 11-time tag team champion, all this while being labeled as part of the greatest tag team of all time, and his homie winning the WWE Championship.
Bing.
Who had a better year in wrestling than Xavier Woods? I'd love to fucking hear it.
Not too many. Not too many.
And when I say that, we're talking about trajectory. We're not like, we expect Roman Reigns to be Roman reigning right now.
Yep.
We've seen the play for Big E 3 years ago. We know who Adam Cole is. We didn't expect this kind of CM Punk return.
Right.
And Seth Rollins is Seth freaking Rollins. But Xavier Woods' name for 2021 is in that conversation. And that's what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, that man is the most improved wrestler of this year.
Man.
This was probably the most deserved victory and put over that could have happened. I'm glad the way it happened. No politics, no friend BS. Just the fact that, yo, hey, look, man, I've been putting in work. I've been doing my shit. I do my up, up, down, down shit because I didn't think this wrestling shit was going to pan out for me. And then look, the switch got hit and I took advantage of it. The company makes a lot of money because of me. I'm another character layer waiting to happen with this King of the Ring shit.
And we're the greatest faction of all time.
Man, listen.
It's not even a debate.
Not at all. Not at all. Because Ole Anderson never got the resume that fucking Xavier Woods got. Damn it.
Yeah, you're probably mad about that shit up above.
Oh, well. Below. Well. Niggers with it again, Ole. Fuck your life, homie.
Yeah, man. You know what's crazy? I had doubts that Daniel Bryan was going to lose to Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had my doubts that Big E was going to be able to cash in correctly. There was no doubt in my mind that Xavier Woods was winning that King of the Ring.
You're damn right.
It was no doubt in my mind. For two reasons. One, starting off, I can't see Finn Balor being called King Balor. That don't seem like his trajectory to me.
Yeah.
That didn't, that didn't seem right to me. I think they got big plans for him. I think even though I wanted to be AJ Styles, I think Finn Balor is going to be the first person up for Big E or New Raw.
Okay.
Especially with him losing to his mans.
Yeah.
So that's one. Two is that you got somebody who wants to be that character.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be interested to see what they do with said character. Because I'm not saying that he has to get his Booker T on. Not saying that. But I do love it when the King of the Ring is actually the King.
Yeah.
Like, I like King Haku. I ain't like King Hacksaw because King Hacksaw was no king. But I like King Haku. Mm-hmm. I like when Owen Hart was the King of Hearts. Mm-hmm. Right? I like King Mabel. I like King Booker. I like William Regal, King of the Ring. In fact, I like that whole shit when he won King of the Ring.
Yeah.
My man. And I still say to this day, and I wish we could talk to William Regal, because the one question that I would ask William Regal is that if they planned on him defeating Triple H to win the WWE Championship.
Mm.
Because that night when the lights went off, I told you. Y'all think they about to give him the belt, fam. Like, yo, they really going hard. They going too hard with Lord Steven Regal, Jack. Like, this is new. Then the drug suspension happened.
Yeah, man.
Which is disappointing. So if I could ever, I would, like, that. He's probably on the list of people that I would honestly say I would love to have a conversation with when it comes to this wrestling shit.
Word, right.
And he's white on Black First. It would be white on First Black Chat. So that's why. But it's true.
Multicultural podcast.
Right. Because you know, you got the motherfucking Goldberg shit, how you hate European wrestling, but you like him. So I would like to get his take on you being racist.
Oh man, you won't get a clear take on that.
Hey, we need his take on you being racist, but also that moment, I really believe that he was going to win the WWE Championship over Triple H. I say that to say this. I like when people are kings. I like when the people are on the throne. I didn't like Bret Hart as the King of the Ring. I didn't like Edge. I didn't like badass Billy Gunn. I didn't like Brock Lesnar. I just like the fact that they had the, especially with the Brock Lesnar and the Edge. I know, I think Kurt Angle, not Edge. But I like the fact when they won it, they also won the chance to wrestle for the championship at SummerSlam. Now, I like that part.
Yeah.
Randy Orton, too, I think, is on that list.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, but that's the saving grace for that. King of the Ring, I like for a motherfucker to be king. I like capes. Yeah. I like crowns. I like pomp and circumstance. Mm-hmm. Only thing you ain't got to do is have niggas carry you to the ring.
Yeah. The Macho Man closed the door on that.
Yeah. Well, actually, King Mabel closed the door on that shit because
niggas fell.
Niggas was that shit with him.
Yeah, but when I say Macho Man closed the door on it, that's why. It's like it didn't. It couldn't have looked cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Macho Man kept his, like, he did his same entrance sitting down.
Yes. Like, look, the greatest king of all time is Macho Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
King of the Ring. That's like, king, sure. Yeah. Like, we know Jerry the King a lot. We talking about, I won the king, shit in the WWE. The Macho Man is the greatest with that shit. Because all he did was turn his character up a notch and brought a different woman.
Yeah. It was like, bow to the Macho King.
Bow. Yo, man. Hey, Macho Man be extra aggressive and shit. You go, you bow. You bow to me. Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? These
niggas is high. That's what they are.
Right.
I like the scepter, hitting the Ultimate Warrior upside there with the scepter and all that shit. No, Macho Man is the greatest king of all time. Number two, though, is King Booker.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
He don't have to. I don't expect Xavier Woods to go all King Booker on us.
No.
He don't have to. but I want him to be the king. What did he say when he won that shit?
He was like, hey, this is my show. I'm the king now. I say what's going on. If I want the cameras cut, you got to cut the cameras. Hey, listen, he's been dying for this. And look, I like, one, Xavier Woods just as a talker and a character is severely underrated. Because he was all, he was just in a group of guys that, like, you could tell they're having a blast. I think, and now, you know what? I'll guarantee it. We're looking at a top five king of all time with this Xavier Woods run. We're looking at a top five. Because, one, this is the thing that he really wanted to win more than you could argue and say the WWE Championship.
Yeah, this is my shit.
He wanted to do this more than anything. This is almost like the company giving him the ball in his eyes, and he's already at the top of a couple other lists here. So I'm expecting a lot more solo appearances. I think even Kofi falls back on this. And dare I say, we get some heel elements out of Xavier Woods as the king, because the power is real now.
See, for me, I want Kofi. Kofi 40. Mm-hmm. Kofi got a baby on the way. Daughter. Mm-hmm. Kofi gonna want some time off anyway. So I think you're right. But also, it's James Brown. And the nigga with the cape.
Yeah.
It's Morris Day and Jerome.
Yeah, man.
Bruh, yeah. If it's anybody that can make this work, it's them two. And yeah. The other part about this, I don't think Kofi mind being the person that holds the cape.
No.
I don't think Kofi minds being Jerome.
No.
And that's his man's. Yep. He's going to make sure this man's get over. Lord Steven Regal had Bill Dundee, and that shit looked great.
Yeah.
That's what I want from them.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, y'all. I want them to be heels doing it.
Yeah, hey.
Ain't no good kings out here, fam. Ain't no nice kings out here. I want them to be mean James Brown and dude with the cape. Mean Moore's Day with Jerome. I want Where's My Mirror? I want Where's My Cape? I want We Fucking Him Up. That's what I want for them too.
Hey, listen. If Kofi gets a 3-month run of just Trouble in Paradise and people that oppose the king, hey. You can't talk like that to me. You can't talk like that to me. Kofi, like Trouble in Paradise.
Wow, like just say it, Trouble in Paradise. Like a king.
Kofi start laying people the fuck out.
A team, Simi.
Yeah, hey, yo, that's it. That them two. That's it. That's it,
bruh. A team, Simi. This shit. Like you saw what the fuck they did. You saw what the fuck they did to Samuel Jackson.
Man.
At Kofi, King Xavier, Akeem and Simi this shit.
Yo, listen, freeze your disease rhinoceros pizzle. Oh, top five. That's my guarantee. Xavier Woods will be a top five king of the ring. That's my guarantee.
And they do that shit, they number one.
Man. Hey, yeah, hey. If we get an interpolation or a derivative of Akeem and Simi, yeah, number one. Sorry, Macho Man, 1A.
Damn, I'll tell you about this after the pod.
All right, for sure.
But yeah, that's what we need, man. That's what I want. And right. If I get that, I am a happy subject.
Yeah. Yeah, royal subjects. Let's go.
If we look, okay. I want that. Let me add that to the joint. We need Kofi and Xavier to be heel, Akeem and Simi. Mm-hmm. We need them to call us their royal subjects. Mm-hmm. He needs to just yell out to Kofi Kingston when needed to Trouble in Paradise somebody. Mm-hmm. We need a royal version of the New Day music.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We don't need the new. We need a royal version of the New Day music. Mm-hmm. And it does not interfere with the tribal chief. They have their own storyline, their own section. Because Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior was their own shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what we want, Kofi and Xavier. Vince, make it happen. You already stated your guarantee. Let me state mine, and it's revolving around Bianca Belair.
Okay.
I said to y'all that I don't think she's going to be around in 10 years. Mm-hmm. But if Charlotte Flair leaves, she's the one who's breaking Charlotte Flair's record if she stays. Because to your point, Charlotte Flair ain't long for wrestling if she's that much in love with Andrade. Yeah. The other part about that is we fail to remember, we forget that Charlotte got into this wrestling game because of Reed.
Yeah.
Her brother. Mm-hmm. She wanted to fulfill his dream. And honestly, man, this is real shit. She fulfilled that motherfucker.
Yeah, absolutely. Tenfold.
She's more than fulfilled the dream that Reed Flair had. Mm-hmm. She's held her brother down. Right. Honestly, and I don't know. I ain't never met Charlotte a day in my life. So everything that I could be saying right now could be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. But Charlotte probably be tired, man. She probably tired. She held down this women's division. Shit, damn this shit she got in this bitch.
Right.
I think the first match she won on a pay-per-view, like she had a pay-per-view streak that was just out of there and won.
13 in a row or something like that.
Yeah, like 13 in a row and some shit. Like she has record upon records upon records. We could call her, we could say she get on her crazy Karen shit when it's time, all that shit.
Yeah.
We could talk about all of the championships that she's won. We could talk about rating spike when she get up in that bitch. Mm-hmm. We could talk about how she took the NXT championship and all of that shit. We're talking about all that shit.
Yeah, man.
She's done everything. Main event at WrestleMania. She's the first to main event a mm-hmm. pay-per-view. She's literally done everything. Mm-hmm. If it's a situation that Charlotte Flair needs a rest, she deserves it. If she wants to leave, she deserves it. If she want to get pregnant by Andrade, go ahead and do it. She want to go on a nice little independent run before she dip, go do it. Mm-hmm. But when that do happen, and if Bianca Belair is still around, I think the company is well aware of what they have in that sister.
Word.
They are well aware. And that's why they looked at what happened at SummerSlam is just, all right, whatever, they'll come back.
Right.
Because that girl, without the championship, to me, has done more with it. Mm-hmm. Just that Saudi Mania alone.
Listen. So, I agree.
So
that second title reign is going to go crazy.
It's going to go crazy. So it's going to go crazy, and she's going to win it. Mm-hmm. From Charlotte.
Hey.
And she's gonna be, she's gonna be the person that eventually, if she stays in this game, she's going to be the winningest women's champion of all time. All right, man. So look, man, shorter show because it wasn't a lot of stuff that went on. It was all the shit that happened on Thursday.
Word, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm about to catch up on wrestling. Don't think we're gonna leave y'all out, AEW fans and people that want to hear our commentary on that. Yeah, but
because
you know,
I still gotta watch Dynamite that happened on Saturday.
Yeah.
But it was almost prayers and condolences to Lance Archer.
Man, son.
Who fuck? He fell on top of his head.
Yeah. And what's so bad is that he has nobody to blame but himself, man. Like, yeah. Like, what be happening? before the show started. Like, do people just like, hey, yo, man, somebody got to kill themselves tonight, man, so we can go viral.
I try not to laugh, but it's just, hey, man, one of us got to almost kill ourselves today.
Yeah, man. Like, who willing to die about this shit?
Yeah, who? Yeah, that. Yeah, man, Lance Archer did a somersault.
Yeah.
And going up against Eddie Kingston. And I think finished the match. That was the other scary part.
Yeah, man.
Like, it was scary looking.
Yeah, man, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Because it didn't look fast either. Like, it's just, man.
Yeah. Look, wild. But yeah, but protect yourself out there in these rings and everything. We gave our final thoughts, man. So we'll talk about that next episode as we get to Dynamite and then catch up on CM Punk, you know. Just talking again on Dynamite.
Yeah, talking about wrestling the B team.
There you go. So I end us off, man.
All right. Hey, listen, man. Outside of knowing that King Xavier Woods should be kicking off every second hour of SmackDown, we want to let you know that we greatly appreciate you and your likes, your comments, your shares, your viewership, your listenership, whatever you do to stay in tune with the First Black Champ podcast. We definitely do appreciate it. It doesn't go unnoticed, and we hope you keep it up. We hope you tell a friend, a few enemies, because the enemies react faster than the friends, and we all talk about wrestling, what we like, what we do not like, and you digest this content that only we bring to you like this, okay? We appreciate that. So please remember that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp Bang. We are out. Nah, I gotta stay.